You want to hear that joke? What did the fish say when he hit the wall?
The fish? Let me try to guess this one.
Yeah.
The fish. Hit the deck? I hit the deck?
What did he say when he hit the wall? Damn.
That's funny.
There you go.
Okay. Do you have another dad joke? Like,
I'm out of dad jokes. Hey.
Welcome back, everyone, for episode 6 of 90
Day. Welcome, everyone, to another episode of 90 Day React, Bubbles and Banter, episode 6 of season 11. Love Me or Leave Me. That was the title of the episode.
I wonder who that was referring to.
So what did you think? Yeah. To me, it seemed like the common theme this episode was control. It was Shekinah, sure. Jordan, Amani, and Sean. They all wanted the control.
Yeah.
Shekinah was... Because they go, still Sarper, still touring the apartment, two-story apartment, as like the downstairs, you have the living area and the kitchen with all of her equipment. And upstairs is just a bed. And
it's more
TV
of like a
right
loft
in front of you.
At that like, point. All it is upstairs, then.
You don't even have room to roam around. It's just like a bed and a bathroom, and you're done. So he looks at the bathroom and he's like, no bidet. Where is the bidet?
Yeah. He's like, fire.
He's like in shock.
What was the inventions he said? He said
fire, wheel, internet, and bidet.
Yeah. It's one of the greatest inventions of history. I agree.
Yeah. I mean,
anyone?
Just a note to non-Middle Eastern our listeners.
Yeah.
We need to wash our butts.
Anyone who doesn't use a bidet, you're nasty. You're doity.
Either bidet or some kind of a hose attached to the pipes that you can wash yourself with.
Yeah.
You need to wash yourself.
I always hate those.
Or from that region of the world.
But yeah, Shekinah and Sarper, they're kind of stretching their stuff for content. It's like, this has been the same story for the last 3 episodes.
Well, we did have the beach, the Santa Monica beach episode.
I just kept thinking, I was like, Daddy's going to recreate this when he comes and visits me next.
Yeah, Sarper was so happy. He said that when he was younger, he was a fan of the Baywatch, and he wanted to reenact some of the scenes. Just so they did a little bit of that. It was funny. You know, with the, you know, name, their names on the screen and, you know, Sarper Watch, they called it. And they, you know, and so she kind of says, why don't you run around and I'll tape you. And it was funny and I enjoyed that. And then they come and sit down and he's like happy, you know, giddy, like, oh, maybe, you know, the times that you don't want me at the apartment, maybe I'll come and hang out at the beach. And right there and then, she kind of says, nope. How about you spend some time knowing our neighborhood and walk around? It's like, she doesn't trust him after all this time.
I know.
She says, I cannot trust him too much or too little. It's like, what do you mean? You know, he's going to be your husband. Then don't marry him.
Yeah.
You know?
I can't imagine
you don't
being...
live like that.
I'm sure like a healthy level of jealousy is normal, but like to be that nervous and panicked all the time cannot be enjoyable.
No.
Yeah.
It's not only that, is like she seemed, we all assume that, you know, she has money, but she doesn't have a car. The apartment is tiny. I don't know where she lives, what part of LA she's at. I mean, it could be an expensive neighborhood, and, you know, that's why, you know, she only has a small apartment. But at the same time, it's like, we thought that she has money, and Sarper can't even drive anywhere. he has to walk. I don't know. In LA, you need a car to go anywhere. And every time they went anywhere, they took an Uber or something, you know. Even Sarper said that, you know, you're a dictator. You're telling me what to do, what not to do is like crazy. But he's going to have to get used to that a little bit.
Yeah.
I don't know how he's going to handle it because you come from, you lived somewhere for 40 odd years and you were able to do anything you wanted to do. Drive anywhere, see anybody, go to the gym, go, you know, all kinds of places. And now you're like almost like a prisoner. You have to just stay within the confines of either her apartment or places that she tells you to go, not the places you want to go.
I think you're...
You can't even go to the beach.
I know. That's crazy. I think your assessment of this episode being... The theme being control is spot on because we're seeing what happens every time without fail. Doesn't matter how well adjusted the couple is. The second they get the foreigner to America, they start to panic about how much independence the foreigner has because usually the foreigner cannot work. They have a period of time where they're kind of bound to their spouse.
Right.
And the American always loves that. Even if they complain about it, they love it. Because the second it starts to go away and it's like, oh, I found a job. Or, oh, I'm going to learn how to drive here and maybe get my license. Right. They start to freak out. Like they want to control every aspect of their journey here in the U.S., including, maybe we can go to Stevie and Matthew next. What happens if it doesn't work out? You know, we see it. Right. We saw it with
That's the problem.
The famous couple, Muhammad and Danielle. We saw it with Muhammad and Danielle, where the second that he was like, "Yeah, I don't want to do this anymore," she was like, "I'm gonna deport your ass. Like, I'm gonna get rid of you." And then I remember legal counsel or whatever, they're like, that's not how that works. Like, you can't just be like, you're not you're not customs and immigration. Like, you can't, you went through all this work to sign paperwork, to vouch for them, to say I want them here. Now that they're here, and there have been so many couples like that where it goes sour and they're like, go back to your country. I was pretty upset with Stevie this episode because I thought her reaction, her behavior was horrible. After like a kind of funny incident with Matty, he went to a barber shop to get like a trim, I guess, or like a shape up. To get like a shape up and a trim. And the barber cut.
The mustache still looked fine. I don't know.
No, it didn't look good. The barber made his, halved his mustache. And made it mustache like thin. And Matthew was like, maybe he thought I was Arab and like I wanted like the Arab style. And I was thinking,
he was freaking out.
I was like, is that an Arab style? Like, what are you talking about? Yeah, and then Stevie tried to cover it up with like brow pencil and he was like, I look like Batman. I was cracking up.
Yeah, he didn't want to go anywhere.
So I'm like, relax.
It's like, you're not gonna see anybody looking at you. Yeah. So nobody cares. Just go.
Anyway.
I know. And it's, I don't know. It's just like with him, I'm wondering because he says that I don't have anybody to talk to. So everything that comes to my mind, I tell Stevie, even the thoughts that I have about her. So, I mean, you can't do that.
Yeah, but I think.
I'm wondering, has he ever called his parents yet?
We haven't seen it. I'm sure he has, but the issue.
Why not show that? You know.
I mean, we don't know yet. But the issue that they were referring to, I think, is normal. Like, he shouldn't necessarily need to hide that from Stevie. He said, "When I was in Iran, my thought was, God forbid, if it doesn't work out, I'll probably just stay in the States." But now, I don't think so. Like, because he misses home now that he's here. What do you know he can't?
Unless you change your status from K-1 to asylum.
No. I think he means like after they get married. Like, if he gets whatever the next thing is, which is like permanent residency or whatever. When they were
sitting down, I couldn't understand what he was saying. It was like,
I think he meant, like, if we get married and for whatever reason it goes sour, I would stay.
Right.
Granted, not overstay any visa, but I think what he was referring to was once he has a permanent residency or some kind of status that allows him to stay in the country, he would stay. But the whole point of saying that was for him to be like, he was like, I don't think that's the case anymore because I really miss my family and I would probably just go back home or try to go back home. And she like flipped out and it's like, I don't think that, again, that's another example of like it's not, she was upset, I'm guessing, that he would even consider that it wouldn't work out. And I guess that kind of raised the red flag for her of like an ulterior motive of wanting to stay in the country.
Right.
But why shouldn't he be able to tell his wife that?
Right. So you remember what I told you last episode?
What?
About there's no drama here, so they're going to dig something up. It's like picking at something that it's,
but Stevie shouldn't have acted like that. Like, come on.
The next day, they're not even going to talk about
it. I don't know about that.
Because, you know, so there are between these two, nothing's happening. There's no drama. Family already accepted him. And so next is just, you know, getting married and you're done. So they have to dig something up with, you know, how, you know, Maddie's thinking and, you know, Stevie's reaction to that. And they didn't even show it that their part of the episode was maybe like, I don't know, not even 10 minutes. So they were done. But they're going to take that direction of let's create some drama between these two because otherwise we have nothing to show.
But I still didn't like her reaction, though. Like, you're kind of glazing over that.
I mean, she gets upset if he says something like that. You can't.
No, but she was like, "I don't like that you
it didn't
have free will." Like, I didn't like that. It's like he's his own person, and it was that cold control thing again that was coming up. So, shall we move on?
Let's go where the drama really is.
Mark and Mina.
Mark and Mina. I know you want to talk about Mark and Mina.
I would have asked to start with. No, I.
All right, let's hear it. Come on.
I'm fed up with Jordan. I can't stand her. I think she's highly manipulative.
What did she say? Hey, Dad, get over here.
That was so rude. Even for me, I was like, oh my God. She was like, yeah, what was the exact word she used? She was like, come on over. Even that's nicer than get over here.
Neil.
Yeah. She kind of, it picks up from where last week ended, and she goes over to have a one-on-one with her dad. And she says a lot of dumb, confusing shit because she's just trying to manipulate him at this point. And she's saying things like, trying to, again, sow doubt, don't get married, things like that. And all I kept thinking was, that ship has sailed. Like,
I know.
They have a two-year-old. They have a child. Exactly. And the time to sit and lobby against Mina was when he was dating her. Not now.
Exactly, yeah.
So
yeah.
At this point, what you're doing is trying to break up a family. You're not considering your half-sister. How would you feel? I mean, she would probably love it if they separated and Maria was fatherless or whatever ends up happening. What did she say? She was like, I think I might not be around you anymore or as much.
Right.
It's like, I was watching, I was like, great. Okay, great. Right. But she's saying that to coerce her dad, to manipulate him and guilt him into not marrying this woman. But it's like, the truth is, that's what you should be doing. If you're not happy with it, maybe you shouldn't be around him as much.
She literally said, "You don't get married. But because you have a child, don't have any more. And if you are, then I will not be part of your new family."
Great, f*** off.
That's basically what she said.
Good.
I don't know.
It was so frustrating because Jordan was like, I'm not trying to tell you what to do. But it's like, yes, you are. You are. Yeah. And Mark, half-heartedly was like, I want to be happy too. So put your foot down and tell your daughter.
Right.
Maybe you didn't want a woman this young for me, but I fell in love with her, and now I'm with her, and now we have a child, and this is the life that I want to lead. And I love you too, and I want you in my life, and I want all of us to get along.
Right.
You know, he can't articulate any of that. And then on top of that, he said something that pissed me off. He was like, I may have started it, but you two need to fix it. What?
He's so stupid.
It's like, that's not how that works. Like, if you started it, you need to bring them both together, have a conversation with the three of them, talk through it, lay down what it is that you're going to do, and explain what's going to happen moving forward. What?
Yeah, he says, I started it, now you finish it.
Yeah, but you two need to fix it. Okay, great. Thanks for nothing.
It's not happening. They're fighting already, you know, they disinvited her to the wedding.
Yeah, we'll see.
I don't know where this thing's going
to
go.
Also, it's like, why would Jordan even want to come to the
wedding? All this conversation has had to be done before Mina got here.
Before Mina had a child. Can we confront the real issue? Like, there's a child involved.
A year went by, a year and a half went by before they came here to U.S.
No, Maria's almost 2 years old. She's 22.
Right, so Jordan had plenty of time to sit down with her dad and get all these things sorted out and get all these arguments and disagreements out of the way.
Yeah.
Or not out of the way, either way, and talk it over and get it done and accept certain facts and just move on from there instead of doing all these, you know, arguments now. I think what set her off was the snake comment.
She's a snake. Now I can see clearly. Mina was right.
So now the only thing that's going to make her and Jordan happy is the prenup. That's the only
Jordan
thing
Jordan is acting like his wife.
Happy.
It's gross. Like, stop. Stop.
Well, I mean, that I thought about that too. It could be the mom that is, you know, pushing the buttons a little bit, you know, behind the scenes with Jordan. I mean, could be not all 100%.
No, I'm
Jordan
saying
the way she's talking.
That's possible, but I have a feeling it's more so like, you know, the daughter slipping into this protective role because she's protective of her mom, that she's acting as an extension of that. But she has to put that aside.
Next.
Matt, Amini, and Ani.
Yeah, talk about control, man. This one wants to control everybody.
Annoying, man.
It's like the next day they're having breakfast. And for some reason, Amani and Ani, they're sitting out in like by the fireplace.
And Matt is
sitting all the way in the back. At the kids' table.
And they have their back to him. And first they
including him in the conversation.
At first they didn't show him, so I thought maybe he's gone. Then they start talking and then they pan to the back and he's just sitting there eating like cereal or something.
Like
I'm like,
child.
What is going on? And Amani's talking to him with her back to him and she's like, right, Matt? And she's not even turning around, like, what? It was weird.
Ani's like, she doesn't want to argue. She's like a, you know, easygoing kind of person. But Amani is like, you know, wants control. So they go out and have like a picnic area, like it's at sunset. And they decide to set some rules. That something that they should have done like in the beginning. The only rule that Amani really likes out of, I don't know, there were three things they said. Last one was permission. You need Amani's permission if you want to sleep together. Matt says, you know, he said, what do you need permission from us, like Amani, Ani together? And Matt says, no, go at it, have fun.
Yeah. And Ani,
you know, Ani
obviously,
care
because they're married.
They're married already.
It seems like Amani is the only one who cares. She's highly jealous. And I, along with other people on the internet, think that Ani seems, like we said this last week or the week before, but Ani seems way more into Matt than we haven't seen her connection with Amani yet. And I don't know if it's because she's more comfortable with the cameras around being intimate with a man instead of a woman because she knows her family might see this or whatever. Like, I don't know. I'm trying to give benefit of the doubt, but I don't know.
Annie seems to be more comfortable with Matt because Matt doesn't, you know, demand anything like Amani does. You know, he's going a little bit, their personalities mesh a little bit better than Amani. Next.
Gregory and Joan.
Let's do, boy, Gregory and Joan. You really don't want to have friends like that. To be on your case, telling you.
Yeah, it was like Bojo's friends.
It's Gregory, Joan, and they met two of Greg's close friends, both named John. Little John and Big John, or John 1, John 2, I don't know. And they sat down and talked a little bit, and right away they were at Greg's, like, what are you doing? What's happening? You know, you make some money, get a job, do it now. It's like,
yeah.
Greg is like,
what did he say? He's like, I want to jump off the dock right now.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And they're nice, you know, they're nice friends. They asked Joan how's living with, you know, his mom, and, you know, how do you like it so far?
Right.
You know, and she says, I like it. Everything's clean. She said something about people thinking that Americans have stable lives. Oh.
She's like, turns out they
Greg
don't.
Told her about like all the debt he's in, and you know, it's welcome to America. I mean, that's the way.
Yeah, this country, is living a stable financial life here. I don't know who the hell thinks that.
Yeah, everybody, you know, runs on credit cards and, you know, mortgage and, you know, car payments. You name it.
Yeah,
the system is designed like that. It's not a. It's not a bug, it's a feature of capitalism. So
exactly.
Yeah. So they kept, you know, pushing and pushing and pushing him. But he doesn't even come up with any kind of an idea. Like before they met with the friends, he told Joan that he's lining up some interviews. He didn't go into details about what kind of job they are and, you know, how much money and this and that.
He already turned down that government job. Like,
I know. I know. It's like he, even one of the friends said that Greg had so many opportunities. He even was offered like a union job, which is like people will die for that.
Yeah.
You know, union job because of the pension and all that. And he refused. He didn't want to take it.
I don't understand. What does he want?
I don't know. He doesn't want to be an
Oscar-winning director. Okay. In the meantime, I have bills to pay. Like, what does that even mean? I understand it's possible to have dreams, but you need to set goals to work towards those dreams. He's irritating the fuck out of me because he's so comfortable at his mother's home and Joan is being too nice about it. Like, kick him in the ass. Come on. It's ridiculous.
I just wish one of these couples would just say no and go home. That would be
what was her name? Rose. Rose did that. Remember with Big Ed, where he was so mean to her, and she was like, "Yeah, I'm not doing this." Everybody else, like, they're willing to kind of put up with the nonsense.
Yeah, we always usually end up with 90% of them getting married at the end anyway.
Yeah, I don't know. I think
very few just say, "Screw this, I'm going home."
Gregory's
Mina might say though. I'm waiting for Mina to say something, but she has too much at stake here. So I don't think she's going to do that. But Joan could.
Yeah, Greg is pissing me off. But I did enjoy that scene because I miss Long Island so much. And Long Island in the summertime is like the best ever. So I got kind of sad.
Yeah, well, you get all these restaurants right on the water.
Yeah, I did miss it.
Great seafood, right? Fresh off the water. On the water.
Yeah.
As he was saying.
Anyway.
Yeah, so they were really, you know, hard on his case, and he had no ideas to offer. He had no plans, no
nothing.
You know, he wants to have his own bakery, but
that's like a 10 to 15 year plan.
But he has no money. He probably has no credit.
They're kind of screwed. But should we move on to Sean and Aaliyah?
Yeah, I mean, I really didn't feel it between these two. It felt weird. Like,
well, Sean straight up said this episode. Distant. He was like, ultimately, I didn't sign up to. Like, I met Aaliyah when Aaliyah was presenting as a male. And right. Sean was like, I didn't sign up to be with a woman. That's not what I wanted. And fair that's enough. Gonna affect their relationship. Like, it's not gonna work.
It's not only that, it's like he said that we decided to have an open, you know, open marriage or open relationship. So there we're seeing other people while they were waiting for Aliyah to come to US. But I think that he said something like, you know, we decided to stop doing that once she's here. And when confronted with that topic, you know, when Aliyah said, so what do you want to do now? He wasn't giving a straight answer. It was like, well, we'll talk about it tomorrow. It's like, you know, he wasn't like, he says, I'm not seeing a whole bunch of people, but, you know, I guess he's seeing somebody else.
So then what is the point of, like, I don't understand. Because he
get married. Yeah.
He also told Aliyah, and Aliyah was like, that kind of hurt me. But he also told her, if you lived here, like, I wouldn't be getting married. I'm only getting married so that way you can be here. So then, but what is that relationship bringing you? If it's not companionship and if it's not intimacy, what is it?
Exactly.
Why are we doing this?
So it just doesn't make sense to me. I don't know.
It doesn't, yeah.
What they're trying to do, what he's trying to do. They don't seem like they are into each other that much. The house was horrendous.
Oh my God. It was like,
it's a nightmarish house. I wouldn't last like 10 minutes in the house.
No, I feel like it's all collecting dust and I feel like it's stuffy in
it
there.
It seems like it's in, yeah, exactly. It seems like it's in, you know, very expensive neighborhood.
Oh, it's, but the things that he owns are worth millions of dollars. And so is that house.
Yeah, too many tchotchkes. It's
way too many tchotchkes. Moral of the story, Sean's house is disgusting. They have no, and they have no chemistry.
No, not at all. It doesn't seem like he doesn't seem like he cares, really.
He looks so much like Chaz Dean. Do you know Chaz Dean? The other LA-based celebrity hairstylist who is known for Wen. And I'm like, what is with all the hairstylists looking the same? It's like over Botox.
Right. I know.
Weird, they got like weird eye lifts and like it didn't end up settling into their face didn't very take. Well. Yeah. So I'm still engaged and I'm ready for the next episode.
Yeah, it was interesting. It just you can see once their partners are here and how it develops into like a different life. The new feelings, new, you know, things to see, talk about, and you know. It's you never know where it goes from here. Yeah, that was a nice episode, and more to come. Can't wait for the prenup arguments. That should be interesting.
Oh, with Mark and Mina, yeah.
Hopefully we'll hear something, ideas from Greg, what he wants to do in life. And what Sopper is going to do with himself all day long.
and the thruple will test their boundaries again. Thanks for listening.
Well, thank you everyone for listening. And
go ahead.
Hope you join us again next week on another episode of 90 Day React, Bubba's and Banter.
Alrighty.
Thank you.
Be well. Enjoy, everyone.
Yeah. Take care.
Take care.
Bye-bye. Bye. Hey.
Thanks everyone for tuning in. Just a quick note, the opinions expressed in this podcast are our own and do not reflect those of our employers. Our content is for entertainment purposes only and are not meant to cause harm or encourage harassment. Please do not send hate or harass anyone that we discuss. That is not cute. That is not cool. Thank you for listening, and until next time.